ಜನ ರಂಜನ ಯಶೋರನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ ಜಮುನಾಥಿರಾವಣಾಚಾರಿ ಜಮುನಾಥಿರಾವಣಾಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜವಿಹಾರಿ ಕಪಿ ಜನವಲಾ ಗಿರಿವರದಾರಿ ಕಪಿ ಜನವಲಾ ಗಿರಿವರದಾರಿ ಯಶೋರನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ ಯಶೋರನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ ಜಮುನಾಥಿರಾವಣಾಚಾರಿ ಜಮುನಾಥಿರಾವಣಾಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಸ್ವಯಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ ಜಕಚಾಯ ಸ್ಥಿತಾರ ಸತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾತ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಶಿಲ ಐಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ತಾಂಡೂಚಾರ್ಯ ವಿಸ್ಕಾನ್ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವಿಂದ ಕೀ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಾಂ ಕೀ ನಿತ್ಯ ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ All glory to the lotus feet of Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 16, entitled Lord Parashuram Destroys the Ruling Class, Text 34 through 37. So I thought we could do 34 together and then I'll read the other. Sahovacha madu chanda
Sardam pancha
satatata
Yano bhavansa janite
Tasmin stishta mahevayam Sahovacha madu chanda
Sardam pancha satatata Yano bhavan sajanite.
Yano bhavan sajanite.
Tasmim sthishta mahe vayam.
Tasmim sthishta mahe vayam.
Sahovacha madhuchanda.
Sahovacha madhuchanda.
Sardam pancha satatata. Yano bhavan sajanite. Tasmim sthishta mahe vayam. Tasmin sthishta mahe vayam. Sahovacha madhuchanda. Sardam pancha satatata. Yano bhavan sanjayite. Tasmim sthishta mahe vayam. Sahovacha madhuchanda. Sardam pancha satatata. Yano bhavan sanjayite. Tasmim sthishta mahe vayam. Sa, the middle son of Vishvamitra. Ha, indeed, Uvacha, said, Madhuchanda, Madhuchanda, Sardam, with, Panchasata, the second 50 of the sons known as the Madhuchandas. Tata. Then after the first half were thus cursed. Yat. What? Na. Unto us. Bhavan. O Father. Sanjanite. As you please. Tasmin. In that. Tishta mahe. Shall remain. Vayam. All of us. Translation. When the elder Madhuchandas were cursed, the younger 50, along with Madhuchandan himself, approached their father and agreed to accept his proposal. Dear father, they said, we shall abide by whatever arrangement you like. Text 35. Jeshtam mantra drisham chakrus pam a. Vacho vayam smahi Vishvamitra sitan aha viravanto bhavishyata ye manam me nugrihananto virvantam akartamam. Thus the younger Madhuchandas accepted Shunashepa as their eldest brother and told him, we shall follow your orders. Vishvamitra then said to his obedient sons, because you have accepted Shunashepa as your eldest brother, I am very satisfied. By accepting my order, you have made me a father of worthy sons, And therefore I bless all of you to become the father of sons also. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Of the 100 sons, half disobeyed Vishvamitra by not accepting Shuneshepa as their eldest brother, but the other half accepted his order. Therefore the father blessed the obedient sons to become the fathers of sons. Otherwise they too would have been cursed to be sonless Mileshas. Check 36. Eshava kushika viro devarata samandita anye chashtaka harita jaya kratu mad adaya. Vishvamitra said, O Kushika's descendants of Kushika, this Devavrat is my son and is one of you. Please obey his orders. O King Parikshit, Vishvamitra had many other sons, such as Astika, Harita, Jaya, and Kratumam. Text 37. Evam Kushika Gotram tu Vishvamitra Pritag Vidam Pravarantaram Apanam Tadi Chaivam Prakalpitam. Vishvamitra cursed some of his sons and blessed the others, and he also adopted a son. Thus there were varieties in the Kaushika dynasty, but among all the sons, Devavrat was considered the eldest. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Purport of the ninth canto, 16th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Parashuram Destroys the World's Ruling Class. So here we've been reading about this pastime with Parashuram, and then it went into this pastime. And earlier in the ninth canto, it was explained how this how he was actually the son of one man. And when Harishchandra was doing a sacrifice for Varuna, he wanted a son, and he had requested this son and said, then I will make this son your as an offering unto you. So when he got the son, then he kept putting Varuna off because he didn't want to sacrifice the son. So he kept saying, well, as soon as he gets his teeth, then he'll be pure enough to sacrifice. As soon as this happens, then. And he kept going on until this son, Rohita, was large, a big grown-up man. So then he realized, oh, my father's going to sacrifice me to Varuna, so let me leave now. So he went to the forest. And while he was in the forest, every year he thought, let me go back to my father's kingdom. But every time he thought like that, Lord Indra would come and say, no, go around to the holy places, visit the holy places first, and then you can go back. So finally, I think on the sixth year, he went back to his father's kingdom. But on the way, he bought this devotee, this Sunashepa, from the father, Ajigartha. And this Ajigartha had three sons, and he was the middle son, so he sold him for a sacrifice. So Rohita took this son to his father, Harishchandra, and gave him to him and said, okay, you can use him as a sacrifice to Varuna. So they had this big sacrifice, and Vishvamitra was the head priest there. And I guess it didn't really explain, but I guess during this sacrifice, I know he offered prayers to the demigods. I don't know why I can't remember his name. Sunashepa. Yeah, right. So he offered prayers to the demigods and to protect him, and they did. And so Vishvamitra then adopted him as his son. So you might think, what was the big deal of the sons accepting him as the as another son. But we know that from Vedic times, the eldest son is given all respect and worship, and he's the one who calls the shots, and he gets the father's property. And I mean, there's big wars, like the Battle of Kurukshetra was fought over this very thing, really, because Yudhisthira was born first. Duryodhana was envious that he was going to be the eldest son in this dynasty and get all of the wealth and the kingdom, and so this was a big thing for them to give this up. Yesterday, Kuti Prabhu was talking about surrender, and she was talking about surrendering, you know, to doing things that maybe you don't want to do. And well, this was a big surrender to them, and the first 50 just couldn't surrender to it. Said, this is what we have gotten. We're the eldest son. Why should this person just come into our family and be considered the eldest? Obviously, Vishvamitra knew that he was more qualified to be the eldest, and he was putting him in this position. So after seeing the first 50 get totally cursed by the father, the second 50 decided maybe we should surrender here, and they approached their father, and he was very pleased because of that surrender. So I was thinking today to talk a little bit about superiors and how we get blessings from superiors by our bowing our heads to a superior. There's one place in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Prabhupada describes how Parikshit Maharaj, when, although he was the king, when he came into assembly of greatly honored persons, they were all praising him, but he immediately bowed his head. And Prabhupada said, this is, I'll read exactly what he says, because it was very nice. This system of bowing the head to the ground to show respect to superiors is an excellent etiquette which obliges the honored guest deep into the heart. Even a first-grade offender is excused simply by this process. So this process of just bowing down, showing submission. I mean, you see even animals do like that. We have, of course, we have the cows, and you watch them, and the little ones, they'll be fighting their heads. And suddenly, they'll put their heads down, and they'll move back, you know, to show, okay, I submit to you, you're the boss, you know. And then everything's okay, they go away. And so this submission, even with animals, is there. You know, someone is in charge, someone is superior. And in this United States of America, we're all considered superior. No one wants to be the inferior, right? We're all equal rights for everyone. No one should be higher than anyone else. You know, you can say whatever you like to whoever you like. You know, just do your thing. And, you know, and Srila Prabhupada talks about how wealth makes one like that, makes one very proud. And then he can no longer bow his head to anyone else. He can't see a superior person. He thinks himself always the superior person. So this is a very dangerous situation to be in, because if we're thinking we're superior, then how many offenses we can create and make to others who are actually our superiors. So a superior person can give boons, just like we see with Parashuram's situation. When his father said, okay, I want you to kill, he asked his sons, I want you to kill your mother. She is an offender. She's an unchaste woman. And all the boys said, no, we can't do that. We can't kill her. But Parashuram, knowing, if I do this and I please the superior, my father, then he will give his blessings. And then I can get my mother and brothers back again. So by this pleasing of the superior, even I was thinking Draupadi, when she was serving Durvasa Muni, and he was not an easy person to serve. I mean, there's so many stories about how easily angered he is. And, you know, but she went and took this service on to serve him. And apparently she served him so nicely. that he wanted to give her a boon. You know, so this service to superiors, it only brings good fortune to the person serving. But then there's the other side of that, and that's disrespecting superiors and what that brings. And I was thinking that there was a perfect example with Madhavendra Puri, that there were two disciples. There was Ramchandra Puri and there was Ishwara Puri. And Ishwara Puri gave all respects to his guru, and he served him whatever was needed, physically, bodily, he did. And he did with great pleasure. He felt this a great honor that he could serve Madhavendra Puri like this. And so he got the blessings from his spiritual master that he could have Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself as his disciple. But Ramchandra Puri, he was so proud. And he was saying, when Madhavendra Puri was leaving this world and was saying, "Oh Krishna, I have not served you. I have not gotten your mercy. Oh gopis and Vrindavan, I just want to serve with you." Here, Ramchandra, "What are you talking about? Why are you lamenting like this? You know, don't you realize that devotional service should be performed with great joy? Why are you should just be chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." He was such a proud person. He was so proud. Even in front of his superior, it said that the disciple should feel just like a fallen idiot in front of the spiritual master. He shouldn't be thinking that he knows everything. So because of that offense, he created more and more offenses. Madhavendra Puri said, "Do not take him away. I do not even want to see his face. If I see his face at the time of death, I do not know where I will go." So he was rejected by his spiritual master for that pride. And then after that, he just kept with his offenses. He started offending Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So it's a very dangerous thing. We think it's no big deal, you know, superiors, and you know, we can say, but it is a big thing, and it can wreak havoc on our spiritual lives and on our material lives even. I was thinking even the story of course, tomorrow is Lord Nityananda's appearance day, and we have the story there of Jagai and Madai. And although they were very low class, they were born in Brahmin families, actually, but they became so low class. It said that the amount of offenses and the bad things that they did were volumes and volumes and volumes. There were so many that the Yamaraj was having a hard time keeping track of all the bad things that they did. So many bad things. And they had no qualms about doing anything to anyone. So when Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur came there, and they were inciting them, "Please chant the holy names of the Lord. Please chant." Immediately they became angry. "Oh, get out of here!" And chasing after them. And Lord Nityananda and Haridas ran as fast as they could for their lives. These men had no qualms about killing people. So they ran, and it was quite funny that when they got back, you know, Haridas was saying, "Look, when I come with a crazy man like you out on Sankirtan, this is what happens. We almost got killed. I'm an old man. I can't run so fast. You know, we shouldn't go into these dangerous situations." But the next day, Lord Nityananda said, "No, we must go back. We have to change their hearts. That will show how merciful Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is." And they went back again, and this time they were so angry, the two brothers, they were so drunk. And Madai threw this pot and hit Lord Nityananda in the head. And of course, we know blood started coming out. And he was getting ready to throw another piece, and Jagai stopped him and said, "No, don't do this. These are saintly persons." And the devotees ran back and told Lord Chaitanya what had happened. And Lord Chaitanya came. He was so angry. He had his Sudarshan disc. He was ready just to kill both of them. And Lord Nityananda stopped him and said, no, in this age, you've come to save the fallen souls, not to kill them. If you were to kill all of the fallen souls in this age, everyone would be wiped out. But in this age, you've come as a devotee to save them. So then he told Lord Chaitanya, Jagai actually stopped Madai from doing more harm. And immediately, Lord Chaitanya embraced Jagai. Even though Jagai was such a fallen person, just that he had been humble enough to stop his brother from doing more harm, he got the embrace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Madai, he then had to beg Lord Nityananda. Of course, Nityananda Prabhu is the most merciful. He gives freely love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's why tomorrow is such a special day. Said if we could just do some service, and really, you get the most mercy from this day, just to serve Nityananda Prabhu. And then he says, oh, they're such a nice devotee, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you should give your mercy, just like he did for Jagai and Madai. Please, give your mercy to them. I had a verse, and I misplaced it somewhere, but it was about Lord Nityananda, and it was how you have to get Lord Nityananda's mercy. Without that, you cannot even approach Krishna. You can't approach the Srimati Radharani. He's the one who, so to speak, sieves out the persons who are sincere from the ones who aren't before they can get that love for Radha and Krishna. So it's very important to serve Lord Nityananda and to get his mercy. So this bowing down of the head for our superiors, this is so important. Lord Madai and Jagai both immediately bowed down to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and begged for his mercy, which he gave freely. And he said, just, you have become devotees, but don't go back to this sinful behavior again. And he told them, Madai couldn't get over how offensive he was. He just kept thinking about this. And he approached Lord Chaitanya and said, I'm the most sinful wretch. I cannot be a devotee. I'm so sinful. And Lord Chaitanya told him, you go and make a ghat. And that's right in Mayapur, the Jagai and Madai ghat. And you make this ghat. And all the Vaishnavas who come there, you offer your obeisances. You bow your head, you offer your obeisances, and you ask for their forgiveness. And in this way, all of your sins will go. You will be forgiven of everything. So here we're learning how to respect superiors, how to ask for forgiveness, offending other devotees. Like Prabhupada said, the first class way is to bow the head. And I don't know if you've noticed, like I noticed, that if someone does bow their head to you, offer, you're immediately drawn to this person. Like Prabhupada said, they enter deep into your heart. It melts for that person because they're showing some humility. So in this way, it's the same with us. If we caused any offense to someone, if we're in front of superior persons, my eldest daughter married a Gujarati boy, and I always thought it was so amazing that whenever they had like 12 children, and not my daughter, but the family she was had been, and so whenever the family would get together, immediately they would go and touch their father's feet and touch their mother's feet, and it was this sign of respect, you know, and then she did, and all the grandchildren would do. And I remember my grandchildren were kind of scared of the father because he was quite a stern-looking man. But they still would go there and then run away. But that just is endearing, and it makes that blessing. And the father, we see the blessings of the superiors, just like even Devahuti with Kardama Muni. You know, she served him so nicely and in such a submissive mood, always doing. And then she got the blessings from Kardama. What would you like? What can I give you? How can I repay you? So this is what I wanted to bring out in this class, for, you know, this superiors, this offering our obeisances and being aware that this is the way to get blessings. This is the way to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, is to get the blessings of the Vaishnavas. Without that, we can't go anywhere in our spiritual life without getting those blessings. It said, for one who worships the Guru and the Supreme Lord, then all the Vedic literatures are revealed to that person. So we must learn this humility, and it comes with this bowing of the head. So I also wanted to read a little bit about Lord Brahma, and I thought if there's any questions or comments or discussion on this.
Thank you very much, Mother Ruchira. Very nice words of guidance. So then, is it that the children also learn from example from the parents about being respectful, and from the extended family? Is that the best way to teach children respect? Or do you have any other words about that also?
I think that, and in this United States of America, I think it's really difficult to teach that. It's like trying to swim up a strong current, because it's so not there. So the best way is within the family to show that respect, and, you know, to honor others. And they see immediately. They pick up whatever the parents are doing. They pick up very easily, especially when they're young. But my daughter, having gone into that family, she had to start, I mean, because everyone else was doing, then, you know, she felt she obviously had to also conform to that practice. And I think, yeah, within the family, and if they see devotees in general offering, we used to offer obeisances so much. Now it's just not it's like Hari Bol Prabhu. I mean, I do myself, you know, it's no longer. I mean, I remember if you were chanting in the temple room before Mangalarti, you probably paid 100 obeisances before Mangalarti. It was, as soon as someone came in, everybody would offer their obeisances. And, you know, always if you saw someone that you hadn't seen for a long time, you would immediately offer your obeisances. You know, now it's just a hug and Hari Bol. But, you know, before, there was definitely this bowing of the head more. And, you know, what they see is what they do, definitely. But it is hard, because they're also seeing everywhere else. So, but, you know, the parents are a really strong effect on children, because they love them and they appreciate them, so they try to do what they do.
Take a superior position in that regard and receive respect, so it's very uncomfortable, if you ask me.
It is uncomfortable, but that's humbling. I don't really deserve this, and this is being given to me, you know, and we can offer it. They're only doing this. Like one time I during the remembrances of one time one devotee was saying how Jayananda, he was with Jayananda, I think it might have been Vatsal Prabhu talking about Jayananda, he was going with him on trash runs and things, and said all these devotees would come up and offer obeisances, oh, Jayananda Prabhu, and offer so much. And he said to Jayananda at the end, boy, devotees really respect you. They really look up to you. He said, oh, that's just because I've been around for so long. You know, he wasn't thinking, oh, yeah, they're doing this because I'm so great. He was just thinking, because I've been here serving in Prabhupada's movement for so long, that's why they're offering. But if we don't accept, then how will we teach? You know, sometimes you have to, you know, like Prabhupada talks about how, you know, I had to wash the floor. It's not that I'm the floor washer, but I'm trying to show you how to do. So, you know, it's not that we're some superiors or we're in some great position or we might not be so fantastic ourselves. But if we don't accept that from younger devotees and younger people, our children, if we can't accept that, then how are we going to teach them how to give respect to the elders? I think, and it's a humbling thing to get respect. It's like, because you, what it does to me is immediately it brings up all the bad things in myself. You know, immediately you start thinking, I don't deserve this because I'm this. Or, you know, so it's actually a humbling thing rather than a prideful.
Very nice class. Sometimes, well, within the verse itself, encoded within these verses, sometimes there are elaborate rules of the Varnashram Dharma. And apparently you can see sometimes some of these people don't understand. Because the sons of Vishwamitra, the fifth verse, apparently they seem they couldn't understand that that's a bona fide way of obtaining a son. He saved the boy's life. What happened during when the sacrifice was about to be taken on? He taught the boy, Sunashepa, the mantras to pray to the demigods. And then he was released by Varuna and Indra, I think. And so, but like the sons them couldn't understand it, and so they didn't want to accept him as a brother. See? Also the other point, Dhritarashtra, he was disqualified because it stated, because he was the eldest son of, who was that?
Shantanu
or whatever. Yeah. He was the eldest son, but because he was blind, that's a disqualification. If you're sickly or you're insane or, you know, you're blind, that's a disqualification. But within his heart, he wanted the kingdom, you know, but it's a Vedic rule. You cannot be king because, you know, so, you know, encoded. And just because he had wanted that, that caused all this fighting.
But his son could have been, if he would have been born first.
Well, still, Pandu is the rightful heir, and Yudhishthira was the thing. Even Duryodhana was born first. Still, he would have still be disqualified because he's the son of Pandu, you know, would have inherited the kingdom. That's a Vedic rule also, you know. But anyhow, the point is sometimes hidden within these verses are a lot of rules that we don't know really. And even we as devotees too don't know them, you know. And but you made a very interesting point about superior, you know, the verse in Bhagavad Gita, worship of the Lord, and worship of the parents. Worship the Lord, the parents, and the spiritual master. See, that's there already. So, you know, what you spoke about worshiping the parents or show respect. Oh, and another point I wanted to bring up really. I think in the earlier days we used to offer obeisance, you know, to superior devotees and so, but it seems like after doing it so many times, it becomes like too much. But I think we can invent a way, like you say, like bowing down or something, you know. Seems we need to come up with something like that to show respect to the superiors.
The legs don't work as well as before, going down and up. That's right.
Sometimes it's hard to find a superior. Like Duryodhana Don. Wasn't there a story? He couldn't find it. He was looking all over. He came back. He said, I've looked everywhere. I can't find anyone superior to me.
You got problems if you're in that situation. But then you notice Yudhisthira Maharaj couldn't find someone lower than himself. So if you're in that situation, you got real problems.
I think we also have to be careful because Srila Prabhupada spoke about asamvara, not being blind followers, because for many years so many of us were very, very innocent and we accepted someone who was in a position always as superior. And I remember even being told, if you're given an instruction, follow it, even if the instructions are on Srila Prabhupada and Krishna will protect you. But, you know, on the other side, we also have to realize that sometimes we have to be careful. Ultimately, we should respect all of the Vaishnavas, but Srila Rupa Goswami gives example to offer that proper respect to different Vaishnavas. And there's also the example in the Srimad Bhagavatam of Bali Maharaj when Shukracharya was telling him not to follow the instructions or not to follow through on his promise to Lord Vamandev. And at that point, Guru Api of Lubhitasya, one should actually reject someone, even if they appear to be in a superior position, if they're giving wrong instruction. And one practical example was when Srila Prabhupada was on the planet. And a person who was the GBC at that time was actually offering shrimp egg rolls to the deities in New York. And some of the devotees were following along simply because they were in superior position giving instruction. So on that side, we also have to be a little bit careful too and recognize what actually superior really means. So sometimes, like, for instance, there may be even a bhakti or a bhakta where they may, I'll find that I can be hearing good instruction from them and I may be seeing them at that point as superior. So we have to recognize ultimately the Krishna factor in all of everyone, even the little animals like that.
But I think bowing the head to anyone, there's no harm. You know, you're offering to Super Soul, even if they're a rascal.
I was just saying about offering obeisances. Sometimes, I know I tend to be hesitant to offer obeisances because when you offer obeisances to the superior, then they also offer obeisances to you, you know. And so what do you do with that, you know?
That's their it doesn't hurt you to do it, even if they do.
Yeah, but then I feel like I'm forcing them to get down on the floor. If I get down on the floor, then they get down on the floor.
Well,
so
I'd
rather not get down.
I'm always happy to get down on the floor because I'm hesitant to get down on the floor. So I don't know. But I think there's never a harm. Prabhupada said this is excellent. So, you know, it's an excellent thing to do to bound ahead.
But isn't the culture is that if a younger devotee offers obeisances, then the older devotee offers blessings?
Yes.
And so maybe we can do something change that, where we offer obeisances to the elders, get blessings. Yeah.
Exactly. They're blessings. That's true. You can do it from a distance also, I think he said.
I was just thinking that accepting respect is also a service and an example, like you said, because if you don't do it properly, you could hurt yourself or you could hurt others' spiritual life. And And rejecting superiors is actually a very, very delicate thing to do. Shukracharya's example there is not an example that, you know, Vamanadeva and Bali Maharaj rejecting him is a very, very rare thing. And one has, it's always better to be on the side of respect and humility than to look out for those who are not doing things right and, you know, try to reject them. Because it's very, very dangerous, and that's called the mad elephant offense. So when we were in Jamaica at a religious talk show, and the spokesman, he was asking us, what about marriage, you know, in the Hare Krishna movement? And we were discussing, and so he was saying, okay, so if you follow, you know, no sex life, and you don't sleep with your wife, and this thing and that thing, what's the use of getting married? So then we had to answer it for example, for showing example to others, how they should do it. So I think example is very important, not that we expect respect for ourselves, but like Srila Prabhupada, and everyone would say, please accept my humble obeisances, he would write back, please accept my blessings. So there is a superior, and he's not giving blessings out of pride. He's offering the respect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead on his disciples so they can make advancement.
And I think, you know, you're offering, like Prabhupada told us, that even you see Maivad Sannyasi, you should pay obeisances to the position of sannyas. They might be a total nonsense, whatever. You're offering to the position of father and mother or superior. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to follow all instructions. Like, he gave one example, Srila Prabhupada, and the manor, we used to have a lot of these God's brothers would come through in the early days and stuff, and one time they had one of them give class, and Prabhupada wrote, said, no, don't do this, but you offer all respects to them when they come. You give them mahaprasad, darshan, garland, but no speaking. So you might, you know, just because you offer all respects to someone does not mean you have to do everything they say. That's not in the mix necessarily. There is a bit of intelligence that has to be used. But even in that situation in New York, Prabhupada praised some of the devotees for just following, and he chastised some of the elders for not doing the right thing. So depending on our situation and where we're at, will have something to do with how, but offering respects is never a bad thing, ever. And one more thing.
Arbel, so like giving examples like what was cited here, and sometimes pulling items out of context, I think we have to be very careful when speaking in a public forum like this. Like for example, with the example of Shukracharya, that Bali Maharaj didn't in any way disrespected his guru, but because he had fine intelligence, he understood that this is an instruction that's one with a difference, that is an extreme example. So we have to be careful when we are presenting those examples. And then the other one with what you're talking about, apparently took place in New York with it. When the temple president allowed abominable items to be offered, is that that's another extreme example. And the situation here, so we should explain fully when we cite these examples that Prabhupada, that devotee who actually did not have that offering, he didn't disrespect the president or any other devotee. He was respectful. Such an extent that when Prabhupada came, Prabhupada told him, and this is in the Lilamrita, he said, you are a true Vaishnava, that you stayed and served And with all, you saw that was wrong, but you respected the authority, whilst others actually disrespected and some left. But he stayed and served, and thus they had a corrected situation. So it was never wrong to offer respect and be respectful. So in no circumstances in these two examples were the devotees disrespectful in any way. They were very respectful, and that you can never go wrong. One thing Srila Prabhupada said, that you can never go wrong offering respect to superiors.
Okay, and I just wanted to read a little bit about Lord Brahma. We already heard this morning about his appearance and all, but I thought it was kind of nice to hear about his form, because the demigods all started praising his form. And they said, "O Lord, your form is worshipable by performances of sacrifice, but souls who are simply miscreants are unable to see it. All the Vedic hymns, the Gayatri and others are in the touch of your skin. In your bodily hairs is the kusha grass, in your eyes is clarified butter, and in your four legs are the four kinds of fruitive activities. O Lord, your tongue is a plate of sacrifice. Your nostril is another plate for sacrifice. In your belly is the eating plate of sacrifice, and another plate of sacrifice is the holes of your ears. In your mouth is the Brahma plate for sacrifice. Your throat is the plate of sacrifice known as Soma, and whatever you chew is known as Agnihotra. Moreover, O Lord, the repetition of your appearance is the desire for all kinds of initiation. Your neck is the place of three desires, and your tusks are the result of initiation and the end of all desires. Your tongue is the prior activities of initiation. Your head is the fire without sacrifice, as well as the fire of worship, and your living forces are the aggregate of all desires. O Lord, your semen is the sacrifice called Soma Yajna. Your growth is the ritualistic performances of the morning. Your skin and touch sensations are the seven elements of Agnishtoma sacrifice. Your bodily joints are symbols of various other sacrifices performed in 12 days. Therefore, you are the object of all sacrifices called Soma and Asoma, and you are bound by yajnas only. O Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are worshipable by universal prayers, Vedic hymns, and sacrificial ingredients. We offer obeisances unto you. You can be realized by the pure mind freed from all visible and invisible material contamination. We offer our obeisances to you as the Supreme Spiritual Master of Knowledge and Devotional Service. O lifter of the earth with its mountains, which you have lifted with your tusks, is situated as beautifully as a lotus flower with leaves sustained by an infuriated elephant just coming out of the water. O Lord, as the peaks of the great mountains become beautiful when decorated with clouds, your transcendental body has become beautiful because you are lifting the earth on the edge of your tusks. Who else but you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could deliver the earth from within the water? It is not very wonderful for you, however, because you acted most wonderfully in the creation of the universe. By your energy, you have created this wonderful cosmic manifestation. O Supreme Lord, undoubtedly we are inhabitants of the most pious planet, the Jhana, Tapas, and Satyalokas, but still we have been purified by the drops of water sprinkled from your shoulder hairs by the shaking of your body. So I thought that was really nice. You imagine a hog shaking its body and everybody would run, not to be sprinkled by that water. But here these pious, saintly persons are saying, we've been purified by that water that's been shaken from your body. So all glories to Sri Varaha, and all glories to Bodhi, Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Jesus.